Hallelujah. Good to be with you today. Praise the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. We're going to be glad and rejoice in it. Amen. Before this throne of grace, Father, stretch out your hands with great power. Everyone listening, everyone training, may the Spirit of God be all over them. May you, Lord Jesus, continue to work in them as you are conforming them to your own character, Christ, to be formed in them. Father, I pray you'll bless and strengthen, deliver them from the enemy. Stretch out your hands to bring healing and help in their own lives and continue to show them. And Father, I just pray that you will lead every believer to renounce fears and whatever else becomes the excuses or reasons we think we can give not to go forward. Lord, Jesus, we come under you and we yield to you. And we're going to keep stepping out in faith on the Word of God in obedience. And I thank you in John 15 again that obedience will bring about the works of Jesus, bring about miraculous answers in prayer, and build us. I thank you for 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, that as young believers we can, well, in obedience to that word of God, become very strong, overcome the evil one, and keep moving on. Father, I pray for everyone in the training. You'll bless them to be bearing great fruit, that they will help lead hundreds to Jesus. And they'll see Jesus that you've come to by your stripes to heal and save and deliver and strengthen and put others also on the field of final history in the United States and around the world. So again, welcome to all of you, again, literally around the world, just so all of you know that are taking the training. And as we're doing this in the beginning, and this will carry on about 8 months, depending on where you're at. You might already be a year later coming in, and all of it's done. But if you're in the very beginning, and we're moving now, we're in audio 29, by the way. We're still going to be on pages 38 and 39, chapter 2 of Acts. And I just want to say welcome. Again, Russ Dizdar, the main website, shatterthedarkness.net, Ragged Edge Radio, you know about that. And just want you to know that I meet individuals. I met somebody in Georgia at the last conference, and they might be listening here, Daniel and friends, and folks that were like, I'm ready to go with you, Russ. I met brothers in Christ that would be just great brothers to be on the field of human. Just be out there. Go visit somebody. Go to the hospital. Go to the streets. You go and hunt, and I mean really pursue to win souls. You're going to win souls. You really believe Jesus is a healer, you just keep praying and believing. Just look at that word and believe the word of God in promise. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Once again, amazing. Acts chapter 2, verse 13. Others, now notice this. There are those that have got saved. There are those that were amazed. There are believers that are amazed. Miracles in God's setting up for the most to get saved. Listen, massive, God did this. And I wonder sometimes, and I know those who want to avoid satanic counterfeit, sometimes throw out the baby in the bathwater, as they say. They throw out all the good of God and lock themselves down, thinking that they're protecting themselves from deception, when the most powerful offense that we have with God's power and workings, that's what brings major exposure, and it blows away, triumphs over in the counterfeits that sometimes come out there. So you stick with Jesus, the Word of God, the truth. You keep examining. Whenever you see something supernatural, something big, something huge, and you're checked, or somebody uses a charismatic gift wrong or something, well, you need to check it out. And if it's just a correction issue, if it's counterfeit, you stand opposed to that, rebuke that, and expose that. Ephesians 5, you expose evil deeds and counterfeit, and you come against that, and God will triumph over that. That's good news. The church should be powerful enough, to be competent enough, to be confident enough in Jesus, that's going to happen, and that's what he promised, that he stays with us and makes things clear and demonstrates his hand. Even as we look in Acts 5 later on, you're going to see how Satan tried to infiltrate the church through Ananias and Sapphira. Yet, powerful, clothed with the Spirit of God now, this renewed Peter, more experienced now, is able to stand there and see a triumph of God over an attempt of the enemy to come in. And that's important for all of us. So as you listen tonight in this audio 29, in chapter 2, verse 13 we're looking at, others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." Basically, these guys are just all drunk. They're all buzzed out on drinking. They're all drunk. We read in Ephesians 5, we're to be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit of God. There are people that drink and do things, a lot of it, and maybe you came out of that world and they do it for effect and feeling and whatever. The day that I got saved, I had the Cornelius kind of thing where I got saved, filled, full, clothed with the Holy Spirit that night. I was out literally witnessing. I went to Kmart to buy my first Bible, and I was out to try to witness the best I could. I just wanted people, I wanted my mom to know. I went with all this love of Jesus, and I'm cleansed, and I go to tell my dad. My mom's glad. My dad cusses me out. There are those that when you share your testimony out of their own sin, out of their own way of covering for themselves, they might mock you. Didn't they do that to Jesus? You could be one of the most powerful, wonderful, loving, helpful believers. You may have seen people healed. You may have taken people in your home. You may have fed people. You may have given your shoes away. Praise God for you, man. Thank God for those believers that do it all. And that's a great thing, because in your service to Jesus, when you've done it to one of the least of these, Jesus said, you've done it to me. When you've fed somebody and helped somebody and visited somebody and give them clothes, you've done it to me. And that's incredible for us not to forget how important a pair of shoes are to somebody. Socks, a meal, helping them. We don't leave human beings. That's the story of the Good Samaritan. There are those like the Levi, the priest. They all just walk on by the injured, robbed, bleeding man. What do as believers? We go to minister, and in the center of all that ministering, helping, feeding, clothing, getting shelter, Jesus. We share the good news. I want to tell you that there's times I've showed up and engaged people, and they're literally like looking at you, astounded that you're there. We used to do bar ministry a lot. It's been a while since I've been back into like a rock and roll bar and biker bars, things like that. We used to do that a lot. And I used to teach theology for a number of hours on Friday night. Then afterwards, we prayed it up, got something to eat, then went into the biker bars to witness. And there's times we met individuals that were like, "What are you drinking?" "I got coffee." The owner, he didn't care. He knew who we were, knew why we were there. We even took him out and prayed for him one day. And we had cranberry juice. So as we're in there talking with individuals, you meet folks that are there for partying and drugging and dancing and carousing and hedonistic, and they're searching, and they're just, they don't know what life is all about, and they're depressed and looking for what. And here all of a sudden in that place they meet someone, or right outside the door they meet someone that's telling them Jeremiah 29:11. They're telling them God loves you, and God's come for you, and God's come to save you, and God's come to call you out of this. And it's pretty amazing. It really is. But I'm going to tell you, no matter where we've been, colleges, universities, streets, door to door, hundreds, I don't know how many thousands of doors I've been, just door to door, and some will mock. So if you're in chapter 2 of Acts, verse 13, there's going to be those who will mock. Your own family members can do that. My little brother at first did that. You know, when I went into his room one time and we were sitting there, he was so deeply into just monsters and things, and he was young still too, and I was only 19. And I started talking about Jesus. He got up, like my dad cussed at me, told me to get out of here with my stupid superstitions, to leave him alone. And I remembered that I did that when I was lost. And there's times when I was drunk, and there's times that I was I was that way. I don't know how you were. Now, my wife got saved when she's 5. And she never went into all that stuff. Now, she had other things to grow and deal with and so forth and become the believer that she is today. But this is important for us to know that as you go out, there's nights that we've taken teams out, like 20 people meet, we're all prayed up, everybody breaks down into twos, and they prayed it up, they're going to visit houses, they're going to visit homes, they have friends they're going to visit. We give assignments out, go visit this person's house, Joe and Betty, and they visited the church, or the others are going to go down and by the 7-Eleven and just going to wait for people to come by. I'm going to tell you again, by plotting that, planning that, and doing that, stuff always happens, say, providence of God, things like that. You know what? He's out there with you. You're doing it. It can't be done from passivity and spectatorship. It is great to hear others and their stories. And you'll be hearing me as we get the TV part of this course, depending on when you come into it. And we're going to have some of you send in audio testimony of people getting saved, healed, and or write to that, or tell us some of your experiences, or when we're on live TV, depending on, again, on when you, if we're already done and you're just looking backwards, maybe we'll have another course you can enter in. But we want the testimonies to be out there. And I'm going to tell you, part of that testimony is going door to door. I've had doors slammed on us, people cuss us out, going to the next door. I've had people in the biker area, you know, blankety blank, get out of here. You know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to smash your face. So in that context, there's warfare. There's the fallen world that we live in and the way people just are living. And you got to remember, the lost are lost. Sinners are sinners. And they do what sinners do. When you were, when I was, I just did what I did as a lost, ignorant sinner. And then in being impacted by the gospel, you can't get saved without the gospel. So no matter how bad, loud, mean a person is, drugged, drunk, evil, it doesn't make any difference if they're mafia and drug lords and drug, you know, sex, human trafficking pimps or Satanists. It doesn't matter. It's a realization, I'm not ashamed of the gospel in front of all of Rome. And all of its emperor worship and cult, Bacchus and blood cults, and its Pax Roma, Rhodes, and intellectualism and education and Roman sold, you know, the sold, you know, everything. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm gonna say this, whether it's transhumanist, people in artificial intelligence, it doesn't matter where I am. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God into salvation for everyone that believes. It is so brilliant, so powerful. The message of Jesus is nothing but good. Talking about Him, the Savior, God, fulfilling prophecy, who He is, how He was born, how He was conceived, all that He spoke, all that He did at the cross. You just keep pointing to Jesus. You just keep be, you know, you be absolutely... in loving Him and amazed by Him. Every day I'm amazed. 45 years later, Jesus, I'm amazed at You. I'm amazed as You are God and You're coming, and I'm going to see You face to face. I'm amazed. And I'm going to tell others. And I have uncles that cussed me out. I have a little brother that ran and cussed me out. He got saved later on. He got saved wonderfully and shared his testimony how he got saved. So there's going to be those that do that. Verse 13, others mocking said, these men are full of wine. You know, so there's going to be people that make fun. They're going to make fun of you praying for people. We were in Roswell, New Mexico, during that time of the year when they have the big celebrations about aliens and spaceships and, you know, the whole Roswell backdrop, if you know about that. And there was a Christian conference going on to deal with that subject matter. What does the Bible say about it? They had these big conferences where... Well, those who are seeking the aliens, and you got to know the day you live in, hundreds of millions worldwide believe in that. They have nothing else to believe in. It's like verse 12, what does this mean? Well, as a person growing in the Lord, I love to have answers to give to people concerning all of these subject matters. There's no subject that you can't listen to, hear about, and then see what God says, His Word says, and bring an answer back. We were there in Roswell, and we were downtown at one of the alien cafe type things where they have all the celebration of the aliens and that kind of stuff. A lot of New Agers were in town, a lot of people seeking aliens and all that. There's all kinds of folks there. We were getting ready to go out of the shop, and someone asked for this, and I said, well, let's pray for you right now. We were right at the doorway, and we just started praying in Jesus' name for this person. We just started praying, because that's where God does things, right? And as we're doing that and praying, two or three are praying for this individual, two or three people are walking in, and they were like disgusted that we're there praying, and they're like New Agers, whatever occurred. They were like kind of bugged that these Jesus believers were there. I think the Spirit in them didn't like the Spirit of God in us. You know, 1 John 4, greater is he who's in you than he's in the world. There's a reality, and more than ever now, there's just more people with demon spirits and spirit guides and demonic counterfeit stuff going on. And yet here you are with Jesus the Word that is powerful always, and the Spirit of God who's operative, God who's not willing. Do you understand that nobody wants people saved more than God? He is God, our Savior. So do a little study tonight. Also, in the context of this, write it in your notes. You'll have room there in Timothy chapter 2, where we're told, first of all, in urgency, pray. All the kind of praying, general prayer, supplication, intercession, specific prayers for all people everywhere, those in authority. Look at the context. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wills all, pas anthropos, all humanity to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So God wants. Now, we do read in 2 Thessalonians 2, there's people that are going to perish. They perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. It could have been. Well, there are those that are going to mock. There are those that are going to make fun. There are those that are going to cuss you out. How are you going to handle that? Forgive them. Pray out loud and bless them. It doesn't have to be an argument. It doesn't have to be a fight. It's you're giving an answer. Sometimes you can stand there like Stephen and the Spirit of God in glory when people are abusing you verbally, yet God is there and the Spirit of God is there. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. And the Spirit of God in glory will be upon you. You read about that in 1 Peter, right? Verse 14, chapter 2, Acts. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. Now, in the context of miracles, in the context of what just occurred, there's people there that are amazed. There's people there that are perplexed. There's people there asking questions. That's how life is. And there's those that are, this could all be like, the reality of your family, your whole extended family, where you go to school, where you go to work. And there's others that are mocking. In the middle of all of that, what do? Take opportunity. Redeem the time, Ephesians says. Make the most of every opportunity. Use that. Even when there's mockers, even when there's people cussing. The story of the great evangelist I probably will tell two or three times through this is the evangelist John Wesley in one of the dirty old alleys in England. He's preaching the gospel, and of all the folks and partiers and drinkers and all that, he's preaching. He takes the gospel out there to them. Somebody threw a rock. It hits him in the head. Blood begins to trickle down the side of his face. What does John Wesley do? He reaches up with the sleeve of his coat, he wipes away the blood, and he continues to preach Jesus. And you know the revivals and the salvations that came, the power of God that struck England. Awesome, isn't it? So in the middle of all of it, in the middle of everything, standing up with the 11, good to have our brethren around us, brothers and sisters around us, lift up his voice. Listen, in the world that you and I live in, we cannot stay silent. You can't stay silent about abortion, human trafficking, satanic ritual abuse, the drug scourge and corruption and the rest. Lift up the voice. God has an answer. Lift up the voice. There's hope in Him. Lift up the voice of your voice. There's salvation. There's deliverance. There's freedom. There's healing. There's new life in Jesus. The most astounding person. The most brilliant, incredible message. And God the Holy Spirit will be there doing His work. So he begins, he lifts up his voice, men of Judah, on all of you who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words. You know what he's going to do in verse 14? He's kind of answering what happened in verse 12. They're amazed, they're perplexed, they're standing there speechless, all stupefied. You know, I mean, they don't even know what to think. What does this mean? Then there's the mockers in this, and they're misrepresenting because of their own sin and blindness. But by the power of the Spirit of God, the believer stands up. And now he's going to raise his voice up, and he's going to unleash by the power of the Spirit. Here's now the Spirit-filled Peter. And he's going to this, and that's you, the Spirit-filled believer, in classrooms, in universities, in neighborhoods, in apartment complexes, and your voice is needed to unleash this extraordinary, powerful message in which God will be present, in which God will work. So he just speaks directly to them. Men of Judah and all of you who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words. It's okay to say that. It's okay to say that to a family member. Listen to me. Listen to me. You ever hear Jeremiah? You know, that's a good question. You know, I learned in evangelism, ask questions. Have you heard of Jeremiah 29:11? I ask a pagan priest raised in paganism if he ever heard what John 3:16 was. He never did. He never really heard it. And I read it to him. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, Romans 10? So, when you have individuals, whether it's an individual, can happen on a bus ride, can happen in coming out of an elevator, can happen anywhere, can happen in a gas station. If you're ready to share Jesus, if you're looking for it, it will happen. And if you're that prepared servant of God, God knows where to put you and lead you and astound you by that way He works, because God does all of this. He does all the setup and all he sets it all up for the most to get saved, because there's nobody else that wants people saved more than He does, not willing that anybody should be lost. And this is good and pleases our God, who wills all men to be saved and come to knowledge. He's after it. And that gospel is so powerful, God comes to grip lives, but they got to hear it. And so sometimes when you're engaging people, and sometimes when they're obstinate and mocking, I like doing the one thing I like is to rely on the Spirit of God if there's anything the Spirit of God gives me to say to them. Or ask them a question. Have you ever heard of Jeremiah 29:11? Or I bet you've never heard about Jeremiah 29:11. I bet you never heard about John 3:16 and 17. Let me show you what it says. Let me just show you something and see what happens from that point on. Now, in verse 15, for these are not drunk. He's now explaining. And so there's people out there. I was in a YMCA, the hot room. I've shared the story on radio, and it's been back in 2012 when all these fake Mayan prophecies into the world. All this junk was out there. So I'm in there trying to get my body back in better shape and all that kind of stuff. I'm like 3/4 of the way there. And yet these younger, big bodybuilders, I mean, muscles, I mean, really big stuff coming in. These guys, 6 or 7 of them come into this big hot room. That's why I've never, even to this day, again, I went back and got that membership. I won't give it up, because I get to witness to people. And so I'm in there praying, and I go in there and pray, and I go in there to do my stuff. But all these guys come in, and one guy says, "Man, it's hot as hell in here." I looked up and smiled. I said, "I don't think it is. It's hot, but I'm sure hell's a lot hotter." That started a conversation. Somebody brought up the Mayan stuff, the Mayan calendar. Somebody else brought up something else. I quoted a scripture out of 2 Peter 3. I started sharing a little bit. The big guy sitting next to me goes, man. He looks at me, he goes, "I'm going to go home and get my grandmother's Bible. I'm going to start reading that." It turned into explaining things. That's what verse 15 is. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's the third hour of the day. Peter's going to now engage. He's answering the mockers. We have an answer to give. And you have to run away from anybody. As a matter of fact, I believe that God, by the Spirit of God, can give you... we're going to see later here where Stephen had a spirit of power and wisdom that nobody could stand up against. Do you understand who's backing you? Who'll give you words? And when you do it, and when you step out, and you'll feel and sense the Spirit of God coming right through you to speak to people, you'll watch people start crying. You'll see people shake their heads. Sometimes you'll see sinners convicted, they get mad and walk away. Verse 16. Now, you know what he's going to do? All this miraculous, all this incredible, miraculous invasion by God, this massive work, providentially fulfillment of prophecy, sign gift of languages, and all that just occurred. Look what he does. Verse 16. This is what, in King James, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He goes right back to the Word of God to explain it. In all that is occurring miraculously and powerfully and so forth, you bring somebody to church or, you know, they see some things that God does. What was that all about? Well, you explain it to them, then go to Jesus. You answer them, then you go to Jesus. That's what happens here. Look what he does in verse 16. The good news is he speaks up, and he speaks up as a believer clothed with power now. And obviously the Word of God's in him, because look what happens, verse 17. In the last days it shall be... says God, he's quoting, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. He's now quoting the prophecy of Joel, and especially in Jerusalem, they should know Scripture, they should know things. So he's saying that all of this miraculous, all of this what you've just seen, everything that's just now happening, is based out of Scripture. It's like the end of the age in Matthew 24, nations against nations, the deception all over the place, the earthquakes and changes and all that. You know, we can answer, you know, when hard questions in universities, you know, point back to the Scripture. That's why you know it for yourself, but pile it into your life. Let it dwell in you richly, as we read in Colossians 3. Pack and fill yourself the Word for yourself to grow. That's, you can't lose that way. But it's there then for it to be pulled up and be poured out on individuals in the middle of things. And that'll happen, whether it's an individual, whether it's a group of people, whether it's two or three people. I'm a biker. I ride a motorcycle. I love riding a motorcycle. I really do. If I could ride it every day, if there's no weather changes and so forth, I would just do that. But I've always used it as a tool of evangelism. People come up to talk, or I pull up purposely to other bikes and bikers. And so there's ministry to happen, and you look for that to happen. And so when people then bring up questions, they bring up things, and they ask about this or that, the Spirit of God will bring up Scripture to you. And you know, it might be one verse that I've used to lead a person to Christ. Might be a number of verses. You might have a Bible with you and say, well, let me show you something. So it could be all kinds of. It could be an atheist, an existentialist, a nihilist, a new ager, a Satanist. And yet you have answers in Christ. And I think that's what's really good now, that as we see God powerfully moving forward with the body of Christ and doing what he said and backing us and being there, and the Spirit of God being on you, the Spirit of God knowing every single verse that's needed, to eventually, in the middle thing, depending on what's needed, give you exactly what's needed. He'll give you exactly what's needed. Now, when he tells them, and this is this incredible prophecy of Joel in these last days, and listen, I believe that it begins here at Pentecost, but it goes all the way to the very end of the age. I believe what happened 2,000 years ago at Pentecost and the full power of the Spirit of the Lord coming, as Jesus mentions it in Luke 24 or Acts 1:8, then it's seen 11 times in the book of Acts. You can go in and circle it. People are filled, pleru, just inundated and pouring over with the Spirit of God. And they're filled, and they're clothed, And when this happens, there's, you know, it's in a sense seeable. And I believe even people, like when I was lost, and that spirit-filled ex-drug addict that was saved and spirit-filled walked through the doors of a party, manifesting off of him. I mean, like emanating off of him was the power of God. And that's why some people got away from, ran. That's why I was hard to even look at his eyes. The purity, the Jesus. My sins were revealed. My lostness was revealed as that spirit-filled person. So this great prophecy involves you. God's will for you to be baptized, anointed, sealed, marked, filled, inundated, overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit. You ever read Romans 15:13? Mark it down. You got to look it up. But how are they going to overflow with God's kind of hope? How are they going to overflow? What is the supernatural power behind them overflowing with hope? God wants you to be filled with all joy and peace, and also the overflowing with God's kind of hope, indefeatable, indestructible hope. By what power? Well, right now, believer, and I pray right now, God just inundate every listener and every one of us, renewing us again and again, clothing, filling, just utterly lighting us up on fire. No grieving of the Spirit, no quenching of the Spirit here, okay? We got to renounce the world. We got to renounce things we're into. We got to make sure we renounce any sins that grieves the Spirit of God. And quote the word, and stand in power. It's like rivers of living water, fire, power pouring through you at times and on you. So that's what this is about. And it involves this kind of reaction, in a sense. The old men dream dreams, and the young men see visions. And we're going to see throughout the book of Acts, we're going to see where dreams came, where visions come. I believe in dreams and visions today. I don't believe in dream books and all this kind of stuff where people, you know, this a cow means this and the green grass means this. I mean, just like the book of Acts, when God gives either in the day a vision or in the middle of the night a dream, a vision or dream from God is inseparably connected to the truth of the Word of God. And brings leading and brings guidance. And in Peter's case later on, he should have been witnessing to the Gentiles already and evangelizing the Gentiles. God had to come in and remind him of the book of Isaiah and remind him of this truth to take the gospel to all people, that it's for everyone. And he had to break that false teaching that would have been very heavy in from the Pharisees and Sadducees and so forth, that only they know the gospel for the Jew first, for all the rest of humanity. God so loved the whole of the world. That's the overall intent. Now, he used Israel. He used, there's things that he's done along the way, but this the ultimate issue is that Jesus comes to die for all humanity. God wills that all get saved and wants all to be saved. And that's important. And so here again, the Spirit of God in the prophecy of Joel, that sons and daughters of their own, you know, obviously among the Jerusalem and from there outward, they're going to see their own kids obviously being saved and turning to Messiah, being filled, and coming from these early disciples, even all the way to Philip in Acts 8. You're going to see visions and dreams and workings of God and the declarations of those. That's the operativeness of the day we live in. From the day of Pentecost onward, because this will carry on all the way through to the very end of the return of Jesus. Now in verse 18, even on my men servants and maid servants, men and women both by the way, I have a mother-in-law filled with the Spirit of God, loves the Lord, great prayer warrior. She's 86, still serving Jesus. I've got a wife that loves the Lord, wins souls, helps things, saves babies through the pregnancy services, and has had visions and dreams. I can tell you about I guess it would be like a vision given to her when we couldn't have children, and 10 years, and we took in kids off the streets and all that, but God had spoken. We prayed for healing. There's doctors that told us no babies, and yet we wanted to believe God. God healed my wife enough. After 10 years, this is just a testimony, 10 years, waiting for a little baby in our first 10 years of marriage. No babies. And then I took her out to say, maybe all these other kids we're bringing to the home, including moms with their little babies, unwed moms, this is what we'll do. These will be our kids. And she says that, you know, she agrees to that. But she looks at me, she says, no, God has promised me we'd have a child. And I saw a vision of a little girl. This, I'm telling you before God. 9 months later, my little daughter Charity was born. Now, we lost two, and they're with Jesus, I believe. But my little daughter was born. And part of what God assured her, and even somebody prayed and gave her a word, but she had a picture of a little girl. We didn't know until right up to the time of the baby being born what it was, what, boy or girl. We didn't care. It was a baby. And this little girl came out. And I yelled and screamed in that little room. I yelled, it's a girl! I kind of shocked the doctors, and my wife just smiled. They laughed at me, but I was so excited. And it's God answered prayer. God healed her. And she knew, and God gave her that. Now, I want to say that you're going to see later the man from Macedonia, and God gives vision. And sometimes a dream and a vision might be a burden that involves, it involves protection at times. It involves direction in times. It involves being called over to an area to witness. It involves evangelism. So I believe that you and I, as we're soul winners and out there in the field and led by the Spirit of God in power, and there's going to be times there's going to be a vision or a dream that involve a message. It's a message in pictorial form. That's what a vision is, what a dream is. It's a message in pictorial form. And that happens again and again. Now, he says in verse 18, I will pour out my spirit. Can you see there's no pouring out straight from God? You shall be clothed with power. Every church, it should be demonstrative. It should be the norm, clothed with power from on high. Every single believer. I'm not going to wait for anybody else. I want what God has. I want to be clothed with power. I want the pouring out of the Spirit of God. I want to stand before the Lord and say, just pour out the Spirit of the Lord in and on me and so forth. They shall prophesy. They shall speak forth the word. They shall speak forth the gospel. They shall speak forth the words of God. Now, there is a fourth saying, a speaking out in a sense here. The idea of witnessing here. You shall receive power. You're going to witness to the world. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses. Power, dunamis, clothed and filled with power all through the book of Acts. Every one of them became effective witnesses, soul winners. And God did signs, wonders, miracles around those who did that. Just how it worked. It's Mark 16:20 again. That one scripture in a nutshell points to the whole of what occurs in the book of Acts. Verse 19, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and vapor, and smoke. Now we're going to the book of Revelation. Now we're touching the book of Daniel and prophecy in the book of... Now we're talking about the last of the last days. We're talking about the last 7 years. So from the day of Pentecost until the day Jesus returns, this massive pouring out, this great, massive, operative work of God. And then when the worst of the dark side rears its head and all that side's going to be doing, even with Antichrist and false prophet and all the rest, New World Order stuff, verse 19, well, there's two witnesses coming, going to unleash to the world. God is going to unleash wrath on the beast kingdom. God's going to show things. He's going to show wonders in the heavens above, signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. Verse 19 alone pours right into the book of Revelation, right into the end of the age. So this prophecy of Joel involves the power initiation of the church and launching, you know, as far as mission, that was launched when power effectively came and will be operative. Jesus said, I'll be with you to the very end of the age. Last day, last hour, last... He's here, fully here, all the way to the end. Please note, God does not fade in the end. Dark side's not bigger than God, right? So, verse 19. When you begin to read what God is going to do, how God is going to respond to radical evil, what God is going to do to strike judgment, the prayers of the saints, what happens in the seventh seal, and God unleashes judgment and fire and smoke and sound and like thunder and just unleashing. And then the abyss is going to be open. Another thing's going to happen. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before, notice verse 20, before the great and glorious day the Lord comes. Now that is referring to, again, that descent of Jesus, that ultimate Revelation 19, the four hallelujahs. Study that there. And you see the descent. You're there if you're a believer. You're in verse 11 through 14. You are clothed in white, descending as the new immortals. And you now have been glorified. You have already been caught up. And when Jesus visibly descends, we're with him coming down. And prior to that, what happened? Well, look at the abyss. Look at the things that happened. It's a lot of things to say here, but look all that happens, including the sun, the darkness, just like being taken out, the moon into blood, before the great, and that's how God sees it, in the middle of all the darkness, in the middle of all the destruction, the environmental stuff that we're going to see in the book of Revelation, the great and glorious day of the Lord, when he comes. Now that's the blessed hope. That's we're looking for the blessed hope. We're looking, and as we're caught up and glorified, and then as we're coming down, well, at the end of this, that's it takes us all the way to the book of Revelation 19 and the ultimate descending of Jesus, the return of Jesus. Glorious. Look where he's coming. And it kind of ends that message with saying, and whoever, in the context of this entire, some call it the church age, age of grace, age of the Holy Spirit, all the way to the very end, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Circle verse 21 and write Romans 10, and you're going to see the same. This is prophesied of the Old Testament. It's packed in there in Romans 10. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're listening to this, maybe, I don't know, from wherever in the world, and maybe you don't know the Lord yet. Maybe somehow you got a hold of this. Jesus has come to save you. God has come to save you. Do you know him? Romans 8 tells you, if you have not the Spirit of Christ in you, you are none of his. You got to be born again. You got to know him and that he's come into your life. How does that happen? Well, you recognize who he is, Jesus the Savior. He's God. He went to that cross and died sinlessly for you. He was buried. He rose from the dead. And now he's bringing this salvation and a call to salvation. He calls us. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord. Well, he's calling us to repent, to stop and quit living in the sin. Stop. Turn around and now put our faith in Jesus. Believe in him. Receive him by faith. The Spirit of God will come in you, and you'll be born again. You'll be born again of the Spirit of the Lord. Astounding, right? Well, we're going to continue in audio 30 here in a few moments, too. I wanted to end with this. We have this Pentecost. God sets up for the salvation of the most. Let me say secondly, there's no greater power and working on the planet. As much as we see the New Age and Satan and all that he's going to do and counterfeiting and all that kind of stuff, and it's all real, he's going to do that, and billions are caught up in that. But you and I as believers, as we're launching out, and God will be operative in us and through us, everything we're reading about, we're reading about 2,000 years later now, where that same Savior and same Word of God and same prophecies for fulfillment are here and now, and you and I are a part of it. What a privilege. That's astounding. I can't wait. I want to get out there. I've got meetings tonight and to pray with individuals, and yet we're plotting team members going into one state here and minister to people, carry the salvation, the healing, the deliverance, the help of Jesus. Father, bless every listener right now and strengthen, and let us be struck with awe concerning you, Jesus, and all that you are, all that you're doing in history. You're way ahead of everybody else, and you do everything in huge ways and big ways and suprahuman ways to get the most saved. to back your church, to crush Satan, to deliver people. And you've come to bring the good, you know, he was anointed to bring the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set captives free. And you, my dear friend, are part of that. Keep praying for all those who are in this training course at whatever time. Pray for all the others. Just say, Lord, whoever else is in this training, whoever else is in all the world, because as you're doing this, there's people taking this training in other parts of the world. Same Jesus, same glorious power working, same great will and passion and mission of God. So whether in Russia or in the United Arab Emirates or in France, doesn't make any difference. I don't care what culture I've been in, what nation I've been to. Jesus said in the Great Commission, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. Therefore, go. And he's going to back that. Love you, and we'll see you in the next audio.